toxology business. See y'all in the Lord's house this morning. We're so glad that you're here. I'll have to get back in swing of things. You know, last week the ladies took over and I just had to sit there. And, you know, so if I forget something, y'all just wave your hand, or maybe you'll be glad I forgot it. But anyway, God's so good to us. He is so good to us. What a blessing it is to be in His presence and in His house. And you know, there are people that love to be in church this morning that because their government doesn't allow church services, they can't. Or because of their physical health, they can't. But you can be here, and it's a blessing to be in God's presence. Maybe pray. Father, we've just sung, praise the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Father, we know that even at this very moment, around the throne of heaven, the seraphim are crying out, holy, 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 holy is Lord God Almighty. And Father, we know that around the throne, the redeemed of the ages are crying out, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and majesty and power. And so, Father, here on earth, we join in that praise and that worship. For there is none other like You. There is none other but You. You alone are our God, our Savior, our Lord. We want You to know that You're welcome here this morning at Barbie's Grove. May You feel honored as an honored guest. But more than a guest, our honored Lord, our honored Heavenly Father. May You receive all the glory and the honor that's due unto You today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. It is good to see you all. I, too, need to get back in the swing of things. And all I've heard, Rosina, has been good. Everybody's commenting on what a great service that was Sunday. So I am sorry I missed it. I was away in Mount Pleasant Church. And I was going to tell you about the doxology. The first thing at that church that Sunday morning before we sang to them was they all stood and we did the doxology. And I said, it's all going to be okay now. Because you can just feel the spirit. It's something about the doxology to me that sets the tone. And you can feel the Spirit of the Lord through that song to me. We're going to do a hymn sing this morning as we look together. Let's all stand, if we would, please. I love to tell the story. Let's do all three verses as we stand, please.
Of unseen things above.
Everybody said, amen. Welcome someone this morning. Well, I have some announcements I want to share with you this morning. First thing I want to do is read this card. It says, just saying thank you doesn't seem enough. Hope you know how much your thoughtfulness is appreciated. From the family of Kathleen Whitley Hahn. Judy, Lionel, and David, thank you all very much for your love and your support and prayers as we remember our mom. We love you and thank you. God bless you in our love. And this is from the Hahn family, and we say thank you. Lionel, we continue to pray for you and the family as you go through the time of mourning there. All right. Announcements that we have in our bulletin, I want to share with those of Building the Grounds. Building the Grounds meeting is Wednesday night, so if you're a member of the Building the Grounds, be there. And while we're talking about the Building the Grounds, Robert, you want to talk about how beautiful this window looks over here? And I just think that Dave did a wonderful job. Take a look. Robert, may you want to share something about this? You can, whatever you want.
One guy by
himself. Okay, we'll let Vanna go over and do that.
One guy by himself took the thing out, carried it out, put it on the table, ground it down, put the braces in,
yep.
Put it back in.
Well, it certainly does look better. Yeah, it certainly looks better. It looks better. It looks so much better. It's beautiful, as a matter of fact.
I had to check every one of the rest of them, and we're good with the rest.
Okay. All right, so Building the Grounds, be here Wednesday night to do that, okay?
5:00.
5:00. 5:00. Okay, thank you, Robert. Okay, choir practice. Need to talk a little bit about choir practice. We're going to have to move the choir practice from next Sunday to the first Sunday in March. The first Sunday in March. We've got some people that's already said they couldn't be here, and one of them is one of our pianist, and some other things. So we're just going to have to be sure that we have as many people as we can here. So we're going to move the choir practice to the first Sunday in March. Times get away, don't they? I miss months going to be gone, and I don't even when it started. But keep that in mind as we go forward, okay? Now, also the youth. I see you've got an article in the youth here. February the 11th. Can't read this morning. February the 11th from 5 till 7.
I'm not perfect. I'm sorry. No. Grant will let us know.
It will be next Sunday, but the following.
Next Sunday.
Not next Sunday.
I'm sorry.
So the first two in March.
Yes,
okay, so the youth will be meeting the first Sunday in March as well. Okay. All right. Okay. That's all right. I told you the month was gone. I didn't even know what happened to it. So that's not a worry. We all make mistakes. Follow me around. You will find out. That's how sure. Okay. So we got that. Okay. Now, do we have other announcements that we need to share this morning?
Yes.
Jeff, you need to talk.
I had some folks mention to me that they weren't getting their phone calls. I can run a report, which I did, and I can tell whether you answered the phone or it sent the phone to your voicemail or left you a message. And the one thing I've noticed was the ones that had mentioned it to me, including me, because I didn't get a message, it was to my answering machine on my cell phone. Also, when you pick up to answer one, if you answer the call, it don't come on until you say hello. And I've got into a habit of just hitting the speaker and letting it speak because I see it's Barbie's Grove. Make sure you say hello.
You have to say hello twice.
Sometimes you do. That's correct. The girl told me that they're going to make it. It has to catch. It don't know to start the recording until it hears something. And the girl said she's going to change some settings around, but if you don't get it, text me. Just let me know so I can go to the recording.
Well, sometimes you're not there to say hello. So.
Right. Well, your voicemail is, though.
Voicemail
should pick it up. Mine does.
Okay.
It just has to hear something. You don't have to say hello. You can just say go away. It has to hear something.
Okay. All right. I got it. I'm sorry. You can tell I'm running slow this morning, but I got it. So, all right. Yeah, it's better not running at all. Okay, so you answer machine by saying a few words, we'll be okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. I was afraid maybe the answer machine answered it wouldn't work. So.
No, it just has to hear something.
Okay, good. All right, I'm clear. Everybody clear?
I think she did mention we're in Windstream territory. And if you're using Windstream phone system at all, she said it's horrible.
Okay. All right. All righty. Okay. All right, any other announcements this morning? Okay. Then let's go to our prayer request this morning. I have one that I've been asked this morning. Remember, it's Alan Thomas, Carol's neighbor, I believe, neighbor there, Carol. Anyways, nephew. And he's been very attentive to Carol, and Carol wants us to pray for him. He's in the hospital this morning in surgery at Northway East, and we don't... CMC Maine. Okay, excuse me. I didn't get that right. I'm sorry. CMC Maine. And unclear yet exactly what the problem is. So.
Right, and he is the only one that checks on him every day.
Okay. All right, so let's be sure that we remember Alan Thomas this morning. Anyone else this morning?
Chris Hopkins.
Okay. Yes, Tonda, did you have one? Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
I ran into Charlene and Jeff at the funeral home the other night. Charlene's got a mass in her bone on her right arm, and I forgot what day, but she wants us to pray for her because they're going to do an MRI for her. It's going to be on Monday the 19th, so if you'll just keep her in your prayers on the 19th, they find out, you know, what it is, if it's something serious or not serious.
Yes, I have that down as well. You go ahead. You go ahead.
But that's it.
Yep. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Chris. How's your mom?
I have a praise report. My mom's doing much better now. It's been 2 weeks and she's getting her strength back. She's dying to get out of the house. So yeah.
Okay. Yes, Jim.
Tyler Hopkins, my nephew.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Hopkins. Okay.
The winner likes tumor has come back. My sister's husband. So just remember them.
What's his last name? I'm sorry.
Ruler. Mike Ruler. He's on the prayer.
Ruler.
Yeah.
Mike Ruler. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, and we come to you in thankfulness first. We always, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given us. Lord, as I look around the number this morning, the number looks like it's increased this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the ones that did prioritize their time to be here. And then most of all, Lord, for the health they have to be here. Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for them. But then, Lord, there are those that can't be with us this morning that would love to be with us, Lord, that might be in nursing homes, in hospitals, or at home ill. We lift them up to you, Lord. And specifically, Lord, we've been asked to remember this morning Alan Thomas. Lord, we pray for him as he is in surgery. We pray, Lord, for the outcome, and we ask for healing for his body. We pray for Chris Hopkins this morning, to be up to you this morning. We pray for Charlene this morning as she has tests that will be coming up on the 19th. We pray for her. We give a praise report, and we thank you, Lord, for Miss Barbara, the strength that she's received, and the fact that she's on the wellness track, and Lord, we thank you for that so much. We pray for Tyler Hopkins. And then Mike Ruler, as we lift those people up to you, Lord, you know their needs. You know what it will take, Lord, to restore them. And we pray for your love and your kindness. And we pray for your mercy toward them. Now we ask a blessing upon our service today as we go forward in our service. We thank you for our pastor, Pastor Ed. We ask as he comes with the sermon today, Lord, that we all would be very attentive and apply the hearts, the words and to our hearts and our lives, that we might be a good witness to someone next week. We pray, Lord, for the lost among us, Lord, and Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord, and then we pray, Lord, that they will make a decision in their hearts and their lives to accept you as our Savior. Go with us now further in this duties of this day, Lord, and also as we continue on with the service today. And Lord, these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. We're going to sing and praise this morning a song that right out of the hymnal. And boy, I tell you, every time I sing it, I just realize how very, very true it is. And you, if you sit down and you listen to the news, and if you watch the news, and I try to watch as little of it as I can because it depresses me so badly. But there's one thing I know for sure, that I need Christ and I need the Lord every hour. And that's what the song says as we stand and sing, "I need thee every hour." Seated, and children, you are dismissed.
A moment ago when we were talking about the one call and Jeff said we could just answer go away or something, a thought came to my mind. Depending on how ornery I'm feeling, if I get one of those calls that I know is scam, I'll either answer in my high school English or my Portuguese that I learned in Brazil. And they always go, what'd you say? my high school French or my Portuguese from Brazil. But I remember a few words and just enough to be cantankerous. It's interesting, you know, and I'm probably sure Brother Jim feels the same way. You can be reading along and you'll read one sentence and all of a sudden a sermon will start exploding in the back of your head. And that's what happened this week. I was reading and saw just one little phrase running a part of a sentence. And the Lord just gave me this, what I want to share with you this morning. You know, in the Gospel of John, if you want to get your Bibles out or your iPads or phones or whatever, Gospel of John. They're two very well-known stories, side by side, just a few verses apart. And they show us God's requirement for heaven. And they also show us God's grace that makes it possible for us to get to heaven. And the first is John 3, the story of Nicodemus. John 3. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now you think for a moment, just describe Nicodemus. It says, in the beginning, he was a ruler of the Jews. Then later, Jesus says, you're a master in Israel. Now here was a man, and if you think about him, no doubt, he was very knowledgeable of the scripture that they had. He was in a position of authority as a leader, part of the Sanhedrin that ruled over the spiritual life of the people of Israel. And to some extent, under the Romans, the physical life of the people of Israel. Probably he was wealthy. If you think about it, later he participated with Joseph of Arimathea in buying, 200 pounds of spices, a large amount of spices, when they thought they were going to anoint the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. So there would have been some wealth involved because spices weren't cheap. He was the kind of man that could have gotten a certificate, Citizen of the Year. He was the kind of man that, men looked up to and admired. He was the kind of man that mothers wanted their daughters to marry. Being in the place of prestige that he was, he'd have been a tither. He'd have been a moral man. You could have said a lot of good things about Nicodemus. What did Jesus tell him? You must be born again. That's a message that needs to, you know, we sang about telling about Jesus. That's a message we need to spread around. People need to understand. Prestige doesn't get you into heaven. Money doesn't get you into heaven. Awards don't get you into heaven. Knowing the scriptures don't get you into heaven. Being honored and respected by society doesn't get you into heaven. He said, you must be born again. You know, you think about people today that don't realize this. It's easy to, if I'm like Leonard, I don't watch any more of the news or read any more of the news than I have to. But, you know, somebody just had a divorce and he's going to pay her $200,000 a month on divorce settlement. I'm thinking, $200,000 a month? Somebody just bought a house for $40 million. What? I read about a person that bought this $45 million house, didn't like it, tore it down so they could build another $45 million house. How many here got $90 million spent on a house? I guess Robert's the only one. You know, it just staggers your mind. You could flip on your, I don't ever watch any of the award show, but you could flip on the TV and see these award shows where somebody's saying, you get this award for the singer of the year and the album of the year and the Oscar for this and the Oscar for that and all of these awards. Your local paper and somebody's gotten this award and that. None of that stuff's going to get you in heaven. You think of the power and prestige of men and women that have served as president and vice president and in the House and the Senate and Supreme Court justices. None of that's going to get us into heaven. As far as people go, there's probably wasn't a finer man in all of Israel than Nicodemus. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And he also says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's verse 5. He cannot. He cannot. And I know in school we loved it whenever a teacher graded on the curve. Now, we hated those people that always made 100 and that messed up the curve. But we liked it when the teacher graded on the curve and a lousy grade could still get you passed. God doesn't grade on a curve. God says, my one requirement for heaven is to be born again. Doesn't matter how good you are or what you own or how famous you are, you must be born again. And that's a message we need to get out. Now flip over a chapter to chapter 4 of John. And we'll read another story. And this one is just as famous as the one we just read. John 4, we'll start at verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself, his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and saith unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe the hour cometh, when ye shall neither worship in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. You know what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now here is a woman who is just the opposite of Nicodemus. She's an outcast. You probably have heard it in a Sunday school lesson. Most of the village women went to the well after supper in the evening, the cool of the day. They would have all sort of lined up as they came out of their homes and gone down the street and walked down to the well together and talked and laughed and joked. She's by herself at noon. The hottest part of the day, and she doesn't have a friend in the world to go with her. She's an outcast. She's an outcast because they see her as a sinful woman. I mean, she'd been married five times. That's sort of astounding. Now, there's some people that do that these days. But back in those days, it was unusual. I don't know whether she's that hard to get along with. Some of these guys died. Have no clue. But not only had she had five husbands, she was now living with a man that she had never married. She's what we would call a sinful woman. Woman that didn't care about the what others thought about her or said about her. She was confused religiously. Lord, you Jews said you need to worship in Jerusalem. We think we can worship up here in this mountain. And what difference it make, you know? And she's a sinful woman. She's a confused woman. She's a shunned woman. There's a lot of things about her life that just don't measure up. Plus, she's a Samaritan, which means she's half Jew. And what did Jesus do? Grace offered her eternal life. You think about it for a moment. Jesus didn't say, well, you're not full Jewish. You can't be saved. He offered her the water of life. That means the water of life is available to everybody. You don't have to be a certain race. You don't have to be from a certain country or community or a part of the world. Jesus told the disciples, go where? Into all the world, starting Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. The whole world needs Jesus, and God's grace extends to the whole world. I'm so glad he didn't say, well, ma'am, I've got some water of life, but you don't qualify because you're such a lousy, rotten sinner. No, he offered her the water of life as sinful as she was. I'm glad he didn't say to her, well, you know, I'd really like to offer you the water of life, but you're so confused about spiritual matters, I don't think you're going to ever get it. You don't have to understand everything about the Bible to come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the beautiful thing about children. Little children, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they can get just as saved as a 45-year-old. Praise the Lord for that. All we need is a God-changed heart of being born again. Here was a lady, and this is what's so beautiful about these two passages of Scripture. The upper crust needs to be born again. You can't be good enough to get to heaven without being born again. And the most vile and sinful down and outers still go to heaven the same way. And I remember years and years ago, a lot of years ago, somebody came from the church and they were witnessing to my dad. And my dad said to them, when I think I can live it, I'll make that decision. Well, that's the wrong thing. You can't live it till you make the decision and Jesus lives in you. You can't live it based on your own strength, your own wisdom, your own power. It's only when we're born again and the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes to live within us that we have the innate inside power to live right. And I'm glad Jesus didn't say to this woman, lady, you go home and get your life straightened out. And then when you come back, I'll give you the water of life. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? The grace of God that says to us, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, this is a message our world needs to hear. The proud that think they're going to make heaven because of what they have or what they've done or what they have achieved need to know, unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven. And those who are on the other side of the tracks, who feel hopeless and helpless and bound in addictions and in other types of bondage, and think, I'll never be able to escape. I just don't have the innermost power. Need to know, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And if you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be different. I don't know whether the statistics have changed or not, but I don't know whether you've heard of Teen Challenge, started by David Wilkerson many, many years ago. And they started working with the gangs and New York City. And eventually they established some areas or some places where they would take these kids to get them off drugs. And it was a Jesus-based program. Now, I don't know anything about it in recent years, but I know what it was years ago. And somebody did a study. And they found out that the people that went to government-sponsored rehab places, 90% of them, after they were cured, bought drugs on the way home from the rehab center. But they found out that 90% of the kids that did Teen Challenge, where they were led to Jesus, stayed clean. You see, there's something about Jesus that enables us to be different. And we need to know, and we need to share. That Jesus is for everybody. Up and out, down and out. And I'm sure that most of us have a mental list that says, forget about old Joe over there, he'll never be saved. No, old Joe just hadn't met Jesus yet. He may be waiting for you to tell him about Jesus. And as I was read that one little sentence the other day, I realized just how these two stories about a very moral, honorable man needed to be born again, and a very immoral woman needed the same thing. Both had the same requirement. And both needed God's grace. And the beautiful thing about it is, God's grace is available no matter which group we're in. God's grace is available. And we can praise the Lord for that. We can praise the Lord for that. I read a story, and several years ago, about this lady. She was sort of out of the hippie culture and had gotten saved. Said she had a dream one night. She was standing in line trying to get into heaven. And the first person in line said, you know, I went to church. I was a Boy Scout leader. I did so and so and so and so and so and so. And they got turned away. And she's starting to get nervous. And the next person, you know, I did this and that and the other. And I was honored for this, that, and the other. And they were turned away. Well, then it was her turn. They said, well, why should we let you in? She said, I just plead the blood of Jesus. And they swung the door open. And in her dream, she walked into heaven. God was showing her in that dream all that matters. We should strive to be moral. We should strive to be as prosperous as God enables us. We should strive to live a godly life. But apart from Jesus, a born-again experience, it won't count. You remember this parable, probably wasn't a parable, probably a real story, that Jesus told the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man had everything he wanted. But he died and he went to hell. And Lazarus had nothing, but he went to Abraham's bosom. One of them had a relationship with God and the other one didn't. I thank God for both things, that it's a clear requirement of being born again that's achievable. You know, if somebody said, Ed, you got to have $5 million to get to heaven, I'm going to hell. You got to be elected man of the year for North Carolina, I'm going to hell. But because it's simply a born-again experience where I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to heaven. And I'm thankful for God's grace that makes it that way. I'm thankful that the condition for heaven is clear and that the grace that enables us to get to heaven is clear. Thank God for his amazing grace. Thank God for his amazing grace. What's that verse that they've added to the hymn, Amazing Grace? The Lord has promised good to me. His grace my hope secures. He will my shield and fortune be as long as life endures. Is that the way it goes? God's grace. I pray that every person here, and I believe all of us as adults, have received Jesus. But if you've got some friend that thinks they're too sinful, some acquaintance, some neighbor, share God's grace with them. If you have some friend, acquaintance, that thinks they're going to get in because of who they are or what they have, pop their bubble gently, kindly, lovingly, and let them know you must be born again. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. It's a decision that someone needs to make. You need to come to the altar maybe and just pray for somebody. Would you come? May the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.